Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
In the springtime of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. And then late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. Today we continue our series in dealing with one of the most serious marital issues there is, and that's adultery. Having an affair is by far the fastest way to ruin your life. How do I know? Well, first we can see from Scripture how King David's life turned out after his affair, and then secondly, to my own shame. I've been there and committed adultery myself. And that's why we're having this conversation today with pastor and counselor and author David Carter. We're trying to prevent the same thing from happening to you. So we're discussing his new book this week. It's titled Anatomy of an Affair: How Affairs, Attractions, and Addictions Develop, and How to Guard Your Marriage Against Them. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, the different types of affairs. Number two, how children contribute to the stress of having an affair. And number three, how parents can overdo family time rather than marriage time. Today's show is titled, The Five Different Types of Affairs. Is there a certain time or certain ages of children where we are more vulnerable to having an affair? Is it earlier age? Is it when they turn into teenagers? Or what are your thoughts on that?
That's a very interesting question. You know, I don't have any research on that, but we had four kids over 10 years. I've got eight grandkids, so I get to watch
my
own girls raise kids. And it's interesting. Here's what I would say, okay, but apart from research.
Sure.
I think, first of all, moms begin to feel less needed as their kids become teenagers. So their purpose in life diminishes as they, as these kids grow up and begin to leave home and go off to college, et cetera. And so a woman often has to find kind of a new identity for the next 25 years of her productive adult life, okay, until she's 65 or 70. Now, a guy, on the other hand, he can see his wife so caught up in the care of small children. I got to tell you a story, Dustin.
Sure.
I had no idea how much children can just suck the life out of you until my wife was a kindergarten school teacher, okay? And I was in graduate school at the time, and she was too. But my classes were in the morning, and hers were in the afternoon in this particular semester. So we went and talked to the principal and asked if I could teach the kindergarten class. It was an all-day kindergarten, while she went to took her coursework in the afternoon at the university. And so he said, yeah. So now this is in the Midwest, okay? So I'm a kindergarten teacher from about 12 o'clock on, about 11:30 on, until I think it was 2:30 when the kids went home. So I had lunch, story time, nap time, recess. I had all the easy stuff, okay? The first day was exhausting. I never got all the boots on the children's feet and out the door before recess was over.
Wow.
So by the second day, and this is the honest to God truth, the second day, the kids, after nap and everything like that, they're laying down their little rugs and taking a nap, and I'm reading them a story. And the next thing I know, my head is flat down on the desk, and this little boy is shaking me and saying, "Mr. Carter, Mr. Carter," I'm drooling out the side of my mouth, and I'm sound asleep.
That is hilarious.
That's when I learned kids just need all you have, you know? So it's hard work sometimes. Now, they're a great joy, too, but they're hard work.
Well, and I think we as men, we need to hear that. I had a gentleman come into my office several years ago inside the ministry. He looks at me and he says, "Dustin, my kids are ruining my life." And he just went on and on and on how much he loved his kids, but how much work they really are. And, at the end of the day, this is a major, factor in, affairs and adultery for sure.
You know, a lot of parents make a promise when they're 5 years old to themselves, and they say, "I'll never treat my kids like this." And that promise, that vow that they make to themselves, oftentimes gets carried out when they have their own children, and they overdo it. And they spend too much time and too much money. And any money that's available for discretionary pleasures or fun is done as family money. And they will spend money on their marriage. And as a result, it begins to crumble and come apart.
You mentioned that there are different types of affairs. What are those different types?
Okay, well, let's kind of run through them. Now, you know, I'm a seminary grad first, and so I just kind of assumed adultery was adultery was adultery.
Sure. And I think most of us do. We don't think about different types of
adultery. Yeah, yeah. I'm perverted, though, so I kind of I got into this, and I began to realize, you know, the Bible talks about this, and there's illustrations of this stuff. It just kind of blew me away. So, first of all, class one is that one-night stand. There's no relationship. Alcohol is almost always a factor in this, as is secrecy. This isn't somebody you've met a long time leading up to it. This is somebody you see. You maybe share a drink or two together. You're maybe alone at a conference, and you're in the same hotel, and you think, whatever, okay? That's what happened with David and Bathsheba.
Okay.
Secondly, class two is often what we call this entangled relationship, complicated relationship. And the Samson and Delilah story is a perfect situation. And the picture we have in the scriptures is Samson has his head in her lap, and she's talking to him, but he cannot stay away from that woman even though he knows she's trying to kill him. Now, that is an addiction, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is an emotionally mood-altering experience that is so powerful that he can't leave. And he continues to return to her. So that's class two. And there's a lot of emotional turmoil in leaving somebody like that. I mean, whenever people get caught in these kind of affairs, it's very painful for them. Lots of depression, lots of anxiety, everything else. Third is what we call sexual addiction today, or sexual compulsivity. And the biblical illustration is Eli the prophet and his two sons. And these two sons, who were also priests, would take these women who were standing in line to offer sacrifices into a tent and have sex with them and turn them loose. And God said to Eli, "You've got to put a stop to this."
Wow.
And Eli didn't. And so God killed those two priests, and he took Eli's life prematurely too, the scripture says, because he would not stop this great sin in God's eyes. There is no relationship in this. This is not about the marriage. If this is a pornography addiction or a sexual addiction involving prostitutes, massage parlors, strip clubs, all that kind of online chat rooms, all that kind of stuff, this is not about the marriage. The individual it would have done this no matter who they married. And the wife cannot change it. She can't correct it. She didn't cause it. She had nothing to do with it. In fact, most sex addicts are acting out before marriage and get married hoping that marital sex will fix their problem.
Right.
They get 2 years, and then they'll start acting out again. Because marital sex is not lustful like it is and manipulative like it is and other kinds of sexual expression.
Dave, I think wives need to hear that specifically once again. That's such a powerful statement. It doesn't matter who your husband married. It has nothing to do with the spouse, even though most wives believe that if I just looked better or I lost some weight or was a little bit more creative in bed or all of those lies that the wife believes, it doesn't matter who they married because of the most likely maybe a decade or a couple decades of the sin before they got married.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. This is usually caused by some kind of pre-pubertal sexual experiences, either a molestation, sexual abuse, an older a babysitter, a half-sister. You know, let me give you an illustration, okay? I got a friend who was a little junior high boy living on one side of a duplex. And on the other side of the duplex was a young soldier, Marine, and his new bride. And he got deployed, and so she was all alone by herself, and she started inviting this little 12-year-old boy over to her house every afternoon after school for sex, okay? Now, most junior high boys would think they'd died and gone to heaven at that point, okay?
Right.
But if you took his sexual experience and you substituted for it for alcohol, and you said to yourself, this boy is getting drunk every afternoon after school, no one would have a problem understanding how it would affect his psychosexual social development. And that's exactly what happened to this guy. This kid became a pastor, and he had a split in his personality where he would see prostitutes. He was well known. He's a great public speaker, traveled internationally. Every place he went, he would visit prostitutes and then preach like crazy the next day. Now, finally, it caught up with him. And the point is, you would say to him, you made some bad choices, but you're not a bad person. And I would also say you never had a chance.
Wow.
Okay. You never had a chance. If you don't believe that, just go look at a little fifth and sixth, seventh grade boy running around and think about that kind of stuff happening to him. That's how come we put molesters behind bars.
Right.
Because they destroy people's future sexual experiences like that. So it's a terrible experience, but you can heal from it. It's your story. We have a rule in therapy that if the injury happens before the relationship can never fix it. So it's your job to fix your injuries.
Dave mentioned something I would like to expound on. He said that marital sex is not lustful. What do you think about that statement? I mean, with our cultural addiction to lust, is that the reason that we say things like married sex is, it's just boring now, Dustin, that we need to spice things up in the bedroom? I mean, when it comes to sexual sin, it's interesting to think about, isn't it? What made sex so exciting? I mean, is it this idea that you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing? That you're hiding, that you're manipulating and lying while committing adultery. And all that can be incredibly sinful and yet exciting at the same time. Could it also be that your idea of sex is wrong to begin with? That was my problem. That what you have experienced sexually was never God's intention for you. See, marital sex was never intended to be lustful. There's no love in lust. God's love is about intimacy. Marital love is about intimacy and knowing your spouse for who she truly is or who he truly is. So how do we change our mindset on this? Well, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of God's praise." Tomorrow, we'll continue our conversation with Dave Carter and the five different types of affairs. Lastly, as we get closer to Christmas here and look forward to the new year, if God nudges you to make a year-end donation to any ministry or organization, I would pray that you pray about a tax-deductible gift to God, Sex, and You. I pray that this podcast and this ministry is a huge blessing to you, your family, your children, and your church. And not only are you listening, and I praise God for that, but by His grace, we're reaching 80 countries around the world, and we're also praying to reach the other 80 plus. So we could really use your help to do that. You can become a Purity partner with us for $1 a day. You can do that by visiting dustindaniels.org and then just click on Give. Since you're on the website there, you can also click on Store and check out our reading material. And if you have a question, certainly send me a question. I would love to respond to that on the podcast. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. Jesus says we're going to see God if we're pure in heart. He says that in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. I can't wait for that day, and I pray that you're as excited about it as I am. I want you to walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus, as you trust in Him. Cling to your spouse if you have one. Hold on to those kids if you have them. Praise God for your job if you have one. And if you don't have any of those things, my friend, continue to praise Him and wait. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.